Our scripture this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the 6 months, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Generally, we as human beings don't like to be told what to do. I think that's particularly true of Americans. That is especially true of Texans. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be told where to go. We don't like to be told how to do things. We want to chart our own path. We want to make our own decisions. We want to set our own goals. Kids don't like to be told what game to be played. They want to be able to choose their own game, not told by their parents what to do. Employees want to figure out their own workflow and not be told by their boss how they're to go about their work. Athletes want to call their own plays. They don't want to be told by the coach the play that they are supposed to run. But generally, that's just the way we are. We would rather not someone tell us what to do, but we'd rather figure it out on our own. And yet, submission is a key part to becoming a disciple of Christ. Submission is a dirty word. It is the un-American word. It's the word that we don't like to say. Because the idea of submission, it's almost a little bit scary. And I think the reason why we feel that way sometimes is because we live in a culture where we've seen a lot of occasions where power has been abused. In fact, there's this whole trial going on about our president, about whether he abused his power or not. We've had a lot of examples throughout the media, throughout the news, of different people in high places who have exploited the weak or exploited the vulnerable and abused their places in power. And so because we've seen that, sometimes it can be hard to talk about submission, submitting to those in authority, because we're afraid of what might possibly could happen. And yet, submission is a key part to being a disciple of Christ. I personally don't like submission. And I think I've said this before in a sermon. I think a good definition for submission is a yield sign on the road, because submission is yielding your will to someone else's will. And so when you're driving in a car and you're going onto the interstate, you got to yield and let the other car go in front of you. And I hate that. I of all of the road signs on the road, the one I dislike the most is the yield sign. Because why do I have to stop to let this other car go in front of me? I mean, is there something special about that car that's more important than my car? Besides, I was at the yield sign first in many cases, and so I should be able to go next, right? But that's the thing about submission. It's not necessarily about whether it's fair. It's not necessarily about whether it's what I want to do or what I think is best. Instead, it's about cultivating a spirit of humility and saying it's not about me. And that's a critical part of becoming a disciple of Jesus. In fact, if it wasn't for someone who engaged in this practice of submission, the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Jesus, would read much different. As Jim read to us in Luke chapter 1, we have this story of Gabriel, the angel. Gabriel goes and visits Zechariah to deliver the announcement that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to give birth to a son named John. And now Gabriel's ready to give his second announcement. And he comes to this young girl named Mary. She's from this backwater town of Nazareth in this rural area called Galilee. She's pledged to be married to Joseph, but right now she is still a virgin. And she's someone who has no power, she has no influence, she has no wealth, and yet she is visited by an angel. And the angel comes and gives her a threefold greeting. First, gives a word of salutation, greetings. Next, gives her a bestowal of grace, you are highly favored. And then number three, gives her a word of assurance, the Lord is with you. And Mary, when she receives this greeting from the angel Gabriel, her first response is fear. She feels fear. In fact, the very next phrase in the text, it says that Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I don't know exactly why Mary was afraid. Maybe she was afraid because she saw an angel, and well, if you see an angel, that's going to probably scare you a little bit. Maybe she was afraid because of that greeting. Maybe she was intimidated that the angel told her that she was highly favored, and that scared her. Maybe she was scared or afraid because she knew something big is getting ready to happen. I'm going to be asked to do something that is going to be of big importance, and maybe she was afraid of that. I'm not exactly sure. But at this moment in the story, Mary feels fear. And one of the things that keeps us from submitting and being obedient is often fear. Sometimes it's hard to submit to those in authority because we're afraid of, well, what's going to happen. Am I going to be taken advantage of? Am I going to be taken care of? Will my voice be heard if I submit to someone in authority? And that fear can keep us from submission. It's the same thing when we read the Word of God. Sometimes when we read Scripture, we can hear what God is trying to say to us in the Word of God, and yet we can be fearful about, well, what if I do this, if I'm obedient, what is this going to mean for my life? And sometimes that fear can keep us from being obedient to the Lord. Fear's the enemy of obedience. And so sometimes if we're not careful, our fears can creep in and keep us from being submissive to the Lord. That was possible to happen to Mary. And so the angel immediately addresses her fear in the very next phrase. The angel tells Mary, "Do not be afraid, because as children of God, we are not to be captive by fear." Because Paul said, for the Lord did not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And we are not to be people of fear, we are to be people of faith. And so the first thing that the angel tells Mary after that greeting is, don't be afraid. That's not where you're to be, Mary. You're not to have fear. And then the angel begins to tell Mary the good news. Begins to tell her that she is going to be with child and she's going to give birth to a son who is named Jesus. And then he says there are five particular things about this son, this baby boy, that you need to understand. Number one, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. Number two, he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Number three, he's going to reign on the throne of David. Number four, he's going to rule over the house of Jacob. And number five, his kingdom will never end. Now, those five things trace back to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In fact, if you're a person who writes in their Bible, you might want to write next to what Gabriel said, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Because in 2 Samuel 7, verses 14 and following, that's where David receives a promise from God. Sometimes we call it the Davidic covenant. And God made a promise to David, and he told David that your throne is never going to end. There's going to be someone who's going to sit on your throne who's going to be like a son to me. And that person who sits on that throne is going to rule over the house of Jacob forever, and he's going to rule in such a way that's going to bring greatness to my name. All five of those things that Gabriel says in Luke 1, they all come out of 2 Samuel chapter 7. That what Gabriel is telling Mary that day is he is telling her that what God promised to David a long time ago, it's now coming about. It's being fulfilled, and it's being fulfilled in the baby that you're going to carry. That God is restoring his people. He's renewing the covenant. He's making all things new. He's going to redeem the world, and it's happening through the baby that you're going to carry. That's the good news. When Mary hears this, her response is a question. How will this be? Because many times when God comes to us with a calling, when God comes to us with a word, when God comes to us with a message for our lives and for our heart, often our response is we question. How can this be? And that question, there's two parts to it. On one line, it's the human side. That Mary's asking, why me? How can this happen through me? I'm a virgin. She had not participated in any sexual relations with any other man. So how could she, biologically speaking, be able to bring forth a child? Why me? How is this going to work? But then there's a second part to this question. This is the God part to this question. And that is, is this really possible for God? Could God really do this? Could God really bring about a baby that's going to restore God's people and bring redemption for the world through me? Is it really possible? How can this be? Whenever God comes to each one of us, when he calls us to a ministry, when he calls us to follow him, when he calls us as a disciple, we wrestle with the same two questions. We wrestle with that question of, why me? Why has God come to me? Why is God asking me? Why is God saying this to me? And then number two, we wrestle with that question of, is this even possible for God? Can God really do this through me, through us? Is it possible? And it's good to wrestle with those questions. But we need to be careful about questions, church. Because questions can be good because they help us learn. But sometimes our questions can keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Sometimes our questions can be a way to defer what God has said to us, or to hesitate about what God is calling us to do, or to distract us from actually being obedient. Because the reality is that sometimes our questions are not going to be answered. And what do you do when you can't get your questions answered? What do you do when things don't make sense? What do you do when God is working in your life, but you can't put all the pieces together? What do you do then? And I'll admit, there's a lot of questions that I can't answer. I don't know why some people lose a loved one through tragedy. I can't answer that question. Sometimes I can't always put together what Scripture is trying to say and interpret it correctly. Sometimes I can't always discern what God is doing in my life and what God is doing in the life of our church. There's a lot of questions that I can't answer. But I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Faith is being willing to trust God even when we can't find answers to our questions. And so sometimes we have to be careful because our questions can stand in the way of us being submissive and obedient to God. Well, Mary raises that question. The angel answers her. And the answer to Mary's question was the Holy Spirit. How can this be? It's going to happen through the Holy Spirit. Gabriel tells Mary, through the Holy Spirit, the power of God is going to come into your life and is going to cause you to be able to conceive and to give birth to this baby that we call Jesus. And then Gabriel says, actually, this same sort of thing is happening in your relative, Elizabeth. She's been barren, but through the power of the Spirit, she's getting ready to give birth to a child who will be named John, who will prepare the way for the Messiah. And then he closes his message with one final statement. For nothing is impossible with God. Now that's a good answer to Mary's question, I think. It explains a lot of things. It's helpful. But that answer does not squelch all of Mary's concerns. Because what's going to happen over the next few months? What's going to happen in the future when Joseph figures out that she's pregnant? Is Joseph going to keep her and stay true to the engagement and marry her, or is he going to divorce her? And what's going to happen when her community in Nazareth figures out that she's with child? You can't hide a pregnancy forever. And eventually the community is going to figure it out. And what are they going to do then? Are they going to condemn her for what's happened? Or are they going to support her? And what about her family and friends? Are they going to stand by her? Or are they going to exclude her? What's going to happen down the road? Mary at some point had to start thinking about those thoughts and start to realize that as she heard the message from Gabriel, she was getting ready to experience a very risky situation, where she might experience some persecution, where she might experience some exclusion, where she might experience some ridicule, and it was going to be dangerous, and there were going to be risks. Because every time that God calls you to ministry or to service or to wherever he wants you to go, there is always going to be risk involved. You just have to look at the story of the parable of the talents. Jesus told this story about a man who had three servants, and he gave one 5 talents, gave one 2 talents, gave one talent. Then he went away for a while, and when he came back, he rebuked the one with the 1 talent, not because he just had 1 talent, but because he took that talent and he buried that talent. Why? Because he was afraid, and probably because he had questions that had not been answered, because he didn't want to risk. And he was rebuked. Our God is a God who risks. He's a God who calls us to step out and take risks for the kingdom of God. And every time God calls us, it's a glorious moment and it's a risky moment. In Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel came to Mary, that was a glorious moment. We sing about that moment when Gabriel came to Mary, but at the very same time, it was a risky. Sometimes our fears about potential risks can keep us from being submissive and obedient to God. Well, Mary feels the fears, and she raises the questions, and she calculates the risks, and then she's ready to give her response to Gabriel. Now, if you're a guest this morning, I know we got a number of guests. In this month of December, we've had a special series revolving around a Hebrew word. And everybody here who's been here this past month, they already know the Hebrew word. They could probably even say it without me saying it, right? Okay, maybe not. The Hebrew word is hineni. Say that with me. Hineni. Very good. And that's one word in Hebrew, but it's translated in English 3 words. It means here am I. It's the word that means I'm fully present, I'm fully here, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm prepared for whatever it is that God has for me. I am available for him. And whenever that Hebrew word pops up in the Old Testament, it always pops up at a time in a person's life that is very disruptive and very transformative. And so the first week we talked about Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, where God came to Abraham and asked him to sacrifice his own son. Then we talked about 1 Samuel chapter 3, where God comes to Samuel in the middle of the night, speaks to him, and calls him to be a prophet. And then last week we talked about Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah has this incredible vision of a holy God, and he's called into ministry. And each time in those stories, in those incredibly disruptive and transformative stories, the character in the story responds to God by saying, "Hanini, here I am, Lord. Test me, speak to me, send me." Well, this morning we're in the New Testament, and the New Testament was not written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek, but there's a Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's called the Septuagint. And if you get out the Septuagint and you flip over to Genesis 22 and you flip over to 1 Samuel 3 and you flip over to Isaiah 6 and you come to the part in that story where the character says, "Hanini," there's a Greek word in the Septuagint. Do you know what that Greek word is? It's idu. Say that with me. Idu. You're getting Hebrew and Greek in one sermon for the price of one. I mean, you're getting a good day here. I-D-O-U. That word in Greek means behold. And it carries the same connotation of behold, here I am. I'm here, Lord. I'm here for you. Behold. And so Mary, after she feels the fear, after she raises the question, after she calculates the risk, she's ready to give her response. And her response is one word. And you want to guess what that Greek word is? Idu. Behold, here I am. And she adds a little line, the servant of the Lord. Here I am, I'm the servant of the Lord. She submits. She submits. Raymond Brown, who is a New Testament scholar, who's written a whole lot on the birth of Jesus, he says at this point in the story, what Luke is doing is that he's giving us a picture of what a disciple really is. Because all throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is going to talk about discipleship. He's going to talk about what it means to follow him. And to be a disciple means that you hear the Word of God, that you receive the Word of God, that you accept the Word of God, and that you submit to the Word of God. And Mary, she receives the message from Gabriel. She accepts it. She receives it. She hears it, receives it, and accepts it. And then she takes it a step further. And church, sometimes Christians, they never get to this step. They may have come to church their whole life, but they never get to this step. They hear the word and they receive it, but they don't ever submit to it. In this whole month that we've been talking about this Hebrew word, hanini, the whole idea is about what kind of posture that we want to have as a disciple. And the posture that we have, that we want to have, is one that is open, one that is available, one that is saying to the Lord, "Lord, we submit to you. And whatever it is you want to do in my life, whatever it is that you're calling me towards, whatever it is that you want to say to me, I am here to listen and I'm here to obey." And that's not always easy. It's not easy because each one of us have areas in our life where we do not want to submit to the Lord. And it's often different for different people. Some of us, we don't want to submit to the Lord and what he said about how to handle our money. For others of us, we don't want to submit to the Lord in what he says to us about how to forgive people. In others, we don't want to submit to the Lord, maybe because there's some theological truth that it's just hard for us to swallow in Scripture. There's some of us that it's hard for us to submit to the Lord because maybe he's calling us to a certain ministry or to an area of service, and we just don't want to do it. We just don't want to do it. What we learned from Mary this morning, and I'm thankful for Mary. So here was a woman who was young and did not have power and did not have a whole lot. But when the Lord came to her with a word, with a message, it was scary, it was risky, it raised questions, And yet, despite all of that, her response, it's the response that I want to have, was, "Behold, here I am, the servant of the Lord." Amy Grant, famous contemporary Christian singer, several years ago, she was pregnant with a child, and as she was pregnant, it kind of got her thinking about Mary, what Mary must have felt as Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus. Got her thinking about the emotions that Mary might have felt. And so she wrote a song. Maybe you've heard this song on the radio over the past few weeks. The song is called Mary's Song. It's written from the perspective of Mary. And I want to just read a piece of that song to us, because in the song, Grant touches on the fears, she touches on the questions, she touches on the risks, and then she offers Mary's response. She writes, "I've traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you've come and chosen me now to carry your son, and I'm waiting in a silent prayer. I'm frightened by the load I bear. And in a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place?" And then here's Mary's response. "But I offer all I am for the mercy of his plan. Help me be strong. Help me be strong." And church, that's the call of discipleship. That when God comes to us with his word, despite our questions, despite our fears, and despite the risks, that we respond to the Lord and we say, "I offer all I am for the mercy of his plan." Let's pray together. Lord, here we are, servants of the Lord. As Mary said that many, many years ago to an angel, we say that today. That we want to have hearts that are open and available for you. And whatever it is that you want to tell us, we want to hear. Whatever ways in which you want to test us, we want to be open for your testing. And in whatever ways that you want to send us into ministry, Lord, we want to be ready to go. And in whatever ways that you might use us for your plan and for your glory, Lord, we offer all we are. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. The place where we offer who we are and we submit to the Lord for the very first time is the place of baptism. Baptism is an act of submission. It's where we let Christ become Lord over our life and our sins are washed away. And if you're ready to take this step of baptism, we're going to sing a song. You can walk to the front. We'll help you do that. It'll be a great Christmas present to see a new person become in Christ. If you need prayer, encouragement this morning, if you're going through a difficult time, and there's some risk involved, and there's some fear involved, and there's something that you're struggling to submit to the Lord over, we're going to have elders and ministers surround this auditorium. Just walk to one of them. Let them pray over you right now. Let's stand and let's sing at this time.